And welcome back here in the 5 o'clock hour. Time to talk with our man Wolfgang. You hear him over on the Hawkeye Nation podcast from time to time, and he joins us here today. Wolfgang, what's going on?
Let's talk some XFL football, Trent. Let's do it.
No.
He hate me versus you hate me. He hate me versus we all hate me. Let's do it.
No. We're not. No XFL. Well, you never know. The conversation could steer there, but
let me ask you this, Trent. If Manziel versus Tebow happened, would you go to pay-per-view to watch that? I would.
No, not at all. No, I don't need to.
Yeah, I know you about that. I you know what? I'd buy it and invite you.
It would be awful. It would be it would be terrible. No, I would not be doing that. I certainly will not be watching, I'm going to guess, much XFL whenever it comes about. It'll be football. It'll be on. There's other things that'll be. I haven't even read the details. That's how little I care about this enterprise. I probably should for my job. I just care so little. It's going to be a terrible product. It'll be entertaining maybe at first, and then it'll die off. It'll be just like before. What's the point of this thing? Now you got me talking about this stupid thing.
See, Manziel v. Tebow. There is now. I did this back with Steve Dace so many years ago, and Mike Tyson was coming back. He's like, I'm not watching that guy. And he kept saying it, And then he called me back, or we talked again, and he's like, yeah, I watched it. And he pretended like, oh, he was just doing a show and it happened to be on. No, he sat there and watched it. You know damn Skippy, you'd watch the XFL of Manziel v. Tebow. You know damn well you'd watch that.
Yeah, I'd probably watch it. Okay, all right. All right, let's move on. You're frustrating me already.
Let's talk about WWF now.
I get enough of that with Brinson. I don't need any more. I got a respite from Brinson here. I get 15 minutes to talk with you, and Jimmy B leaves the studio, and now you're trying to bring up garbage that Jimmy Bree brings up. Come on.
I had no idea he liked WWE.
Of course.
Joke at the beginning.
Of course he does.
Okay. Oh, my. I don't like it, no. Okay. I haven't liked it since back in the day. So it's been 20 years.
Well, the first thing I did want to talk to you about today is yesterday Scott Dochterman from Land of 10 broke the story as Iowa had given a contract extension to Fran McCaffrey day after they were throttled by Virginia Tech during a terrible stretch where they lost, what, 6 out of 7 games, losing the 2 games down in the Cayman Islands. They handed him a contract, though, and kept it under wraps. I'm going to just keep it open-ended. Your initial thoughts when you found that out yesterday?
Okay, so we're watching the morning news this morning, and they're showing that, I don't know what, 6:30 or whatever channel we were watching. And Tip, this is the first Tip had heard of it, okay? And I told you before we were gone on, I wanted to say something like this. I told you nothing, basically, other than I wanted to say this. And she's looking at that, and she's getting pissed, okay? She's going, if you go on with Trent Condon and stick up for that guy, okay, and kiss his, and be Mr. Cheerleader Bleep, I am going to kill you. And she was just, like, I'm like, whoa, you woke up on the wrong side of the bed. What is going on here? If you guys do this, I am done. I'm like, oh, you think Trent's a kiss bleep? Okay, nobody's ever called Trent a kiss bleep, okay? If you think I'm a kiss bleep, I would disagree hardcore. But yeah, I guess I can see why you would say that, because I don't want him fired. That makes me a kiss bleep, Trent. Gosh, man, I don't understand her. She just wants everybody fired. Everybody fired. She loves Kirk Barron, but she doesn't understand why, as an Oklahoma fan, we just accept what she would say, mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that. You and I don't believe that. So she considers us kiss bleeps. Do you hear from other fans? You've listened to, like, you probably know Ohio State fans or other Big Ten fans, mm-hmm, or whatever. Do they hear you and think, like, what we're paying them? Do they think we're crazy for keeping our coaches? Or are we cheerleaders?
There are some. You know, we have Ken Silverstein on, and, you know, sometimes he questions Ferentz at times and McCaffrey, and it's just a different realm. And I don't know. I understand there is a portion of the fan base that looks at it the same way Tiff does. Why do you accept mediocrity? It's not accepting it, but it's also realizing there is another side of the coin. It's not an automatic that you're going to fire a guy and bring in somebody better. And at Iowa, where it is more difficult, where if you make a bad hire, you don't go from, you know, being in basketball, a team that can get to the tournament and win a game, And you step back and you become Todd Licklider. And we saw how bad it can be. In Iowa football, they're one bad hire away from being what Purdue's been. They're closer to that, in my estimation, than they are in Ohio State. And the reason's pretty simple. The population base here in the state, not going to be changing anytime soon. I don't see an influx of a couple million people coming in here in the next couple of years. The population base, you look at recruiting year after year after year, football, basketball, and the reason the Blue Bloods are the same. And I mentioned this yesterday, Wolfgang. You know, the hierarchy of college sports is pretty similar. It's very rare that you see a program completely ascend. They might have a team. They might have a group of guys. But for the most part, really outside of Wisconsin, I can't think of another power conference team that was garbage for me growing up that is suddenly some kind of power. And even Wisconsin has their limitations when you're talking about that high end. So that's kind of the argument that I come back from, is when people look at it that perspective, knowing there's no sure things, we know that. And secondly, it can go south a lot more quickly than it can go up. You look at Iowa State basketball. They go from having two excellent coaches in Tim Floyd, Larry Eustachy, and then there was a step back from Wayne Morgan, and then a bigger step back under Greg McDermott. Greg McDermott was a good coach. I saw firsthand what he did at Northern Iowa, and I knew him and I knew the staff pretty well at the time. I knew how good that guy was. But it never worked at Iowa State. Not because he's a terrible coach, but it was Wesley Johnson leaving. It was a player here, a player there. And suddenly, you're mired in this mediocrity. So that's what I come back when I hear those kind of arguments.
Okay. And she gives, you know, give me some ammunition here.
Okay.
She gives me hardcore, I mean, she gets the Kirk Ferentz thing. I mean, I got Kirk's back, and I could totally talk myself out of that. Okay? No problem. Kirk Ferentz, you go over the top 10 finishes, you go over the January bowl games, mm-hmm. you go with making money and sold out crowds, and even though it's not sold out now, but a mostly filled stadium, passionate fans. I can do that on my own. I'm having trouble with what she's coming at with Fran. And she's talking 8 years in. She's talking this secrecy, you know, extension. What is that all about, man? I don't get it. I don't get why you do that, and I would like your opinion on that. I don't understand why Barta would do that. Just come out and say at the beginning of the year. We would all kind of understand, right? Maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Because a lot of us thought, wow, we're going to be kind of good this year, right?
Yes.
That was before Christian Williams said bye-bye, right? That's our backup point guard. That's before Fran McCaffrey's son, Connor, got hurt. Boy, now we're down two point guards. This is what I come back at with her with. And she's like, you love Fran. Actually, I don't love Fran. I like Fran. And I don't want him fired. There's a difference between giving somebody a chance and not wanting them fired. I don't love him. There's plenty of things I have problems with him. Do I think he should be fired? Do I even think he should be even on the hot seat or warm seat? No. Now, next year, if it's something like this next year,
mm-hmm.
all right, have a conversation with me. Have a conversation with me. But what Gary Barta did, and you know Hawkeye fans, and you talk to people are not a fan of this guy, okay? They are not. And I don't know, maybe you talk to people that are, yes, I love Gary Barta. I love the man. I don't know if he's a great fundraiser or if he's a great what. There's plenty of things that I think he could do, should do, if he thought outside of the box. And I love people that think outside the box, even if it ends up not working. You know what I mean, Trent?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like he is that dude. Maybe he is. Maybe he's a great guy. But what he did with his contract, I don't know if he thought that he would get this past us. What was he thinking? This was the worst thing that you could do, because now we're looking at him going, what are you trying to hide? What are you trying to do? And I'm a guy that likes Fran, and I'm saying that, Trent. What about you?
The problem that I have with this is twofold. The first part is the secrecy of it. Why wait? I understand things weren't going well, but if you sign this, he was due for a contract extension because of recruiting, and you have to have at least 4 years. This summer, the parameters were being worked on. But
yes, when
you finally come to the agreement, all right, you don't want to do it the day after you get throttled by Vatek. I get that. When you look at the schedule from that time, you had Penn State at home, you get Big Ten play started early, Indiana after that, they looked like two winnable games, and that didn't happen. So you kind of just keep going down the road. I personally believe a perfect time to do it would have been right after the win against Colorado over in Sioux Falls. You'd won four straight games. You beat Drake a couple games before in the Big Four Classic, throttled them. There was a little bit of goodwill starting to be built up there. It was right around Christmas time. It would have been a talking point at Christmas dinner with your family. But for the most part, it would have been kind of slid in, if you will. But they didn't. They kept waiting. Another part of this, remember, this summer is when they started working on this contract extension. Well, during that time, not only coming back on the heels of the Jane Meyer and Tracy Griesbaum decision, but secondly, Gary Barta was also going through prostate cancer treatment. So when I first started kind of freaking out about this yesterday, I did forget that part. So do have to maybe take a small step back because of that, also realizing. But for 2 months to let this sit idle, that's, I do have a problem with that. But the biggest problem is the buyout language. Who's coming in and hiring Fran McCaffrey? Who are you scared that he is going to leave for a 59-year-old guy that has had success,
no doubt.
But we're not, the Blue Bloods are not coming calling. The Notre Dame job, which maybe is the one that he wants more than anything, that's not coming open anytime soon with Mike Bray. Who else is making a call and can give more than what Iowa can give him? I just, that's what I struggle with. Why do you have to put this buyout language in there, the same kind of buyout language that's in there for Kirk Ferentz, when they're good coaches, they're solid, but the demand, I don't know if it's inflated in the mind of Gary Barta. I don't know what it is. That's the thing that I really struggle with.
He's older, okay? No big-time program is going to come and steal us, you know, stealing from us. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, there's a buyout clause also if he wants to leave somewhere, if he wants to go to, if he somehow turned it around next year, and just we were stud program, he would owe us $2 million. Have you heard that? I think I read that.
They added an extra $1 million if he would leave to the buyout that would go to the University of Iowa, correct?
That's not really, you know what? I mean, is Barta just a bad negotiator?
I think that's fair to say, yes.
Doesn't make him a bad person.
No.
But it just seems like he's a bad negotiator, and he's just throwing stuff out there that will just make him not look completely stupid, just stupid. And I have no problem with the guy. I'm sorry what he's going through and everything, but this can't happen. You can't just do that to a program and have that kind of problems if things go just terrible. Say he was a cheater, which we know he's not. And quite frankly, Trent, that's kind of what we're hoping now with the Iowa program and Iowa State program. We want and we assume that Fran McCaffrey is a stand-up dude, and he's doing things the right way. Everything I've heard, he is that guy. He likes, you know, family kids and guys that are good kids and guys that are good students. Iowa State the same way. They're going after good kids and people that they want in their program to represent Iowa State well. But, I mean, there is a certain point where the only thing we have to root for right now, Trent, and I look at Iowa State a little bit, and I know you poo-pooed me a little bit, and this is easy to say, there's not a 0% chance of them winning the Big 12 tournament. I mean, they've beat Texas Tech. They've played Kansas well. I mean, the bottom of the Big 12 can beat the top easy. Can they win that many games in a row? Probably not. But Iowa State fans are not, I don't think it's over. I mean, there's a fun part of watching that right now. But I don't know, Trent. I mean, the only thing we're looking for right now is for the FBI to come in and take out 60 of the top programs. And what the heck happened to the FBI? Have you read any stories on that now, Trent? Because that's what we're rooting for. We're rooting for the FBI to come in and take out the top 60 programs, whether it's Southern Cal, whether it's, Louisville, all those other programs, Auburn, Alabama, all those programs that have been, we know, cheating. Do I know that for a fact? Allegedly, I'll just throw that in there. Basketball has been just a disgusting, disgusting thing in sport for a long, long time, Trent. And maybe we can get into how to fix college basketball down the line when there's not much to talk about. But at this point, I don't know what you do. That's all we're rooting for is the FBI. And that's pathetic, and that story has gone bye-bye. If you can explain to me why, where has that story gone? Everything I heard, this is the end, man. This is the end of all these college coaches that are scumbags like Patino and blah, blah, blah. I heard that and kept hearing it, and I got sick of hearing that. I knew nothing was going to happen. What have you heard? The FBI, oh, they don't mess around, man. everything will come out on all these schools, the Adidas schools, blah, 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 that have been doing this, and some of the Nike schools, whatever. I've heard nothing, Trent. Can you point me to where to read about this? Because I've heard nothing. And this was supposed to be the end of some of these guys. And if it was, Trent, if all these players and the FBI had all this information on some of these players and they were cheating, boom, those players gone. Boom, those coaches gone. Boom, they're out of the NCAA tournament. What's happened to that story, Trent?
Nothing. Nothing. They indicted the guys and we move on. And
jeez.
You look.
Wait, am I exaggerating? Was everybody not saying, boy, I'll tell you what, the FBI don't mess around, man. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, this sucker. Am I wrong?
No, not at all. You're right. You are right. Here we are. And, it's.
So we got to root for 60 programs.
Yeah, it's not happening.
We got to root for 60 programs.
People thought it was going to be, this big thing that was going to. And it didn't.
I bought it. I actually bought it. Had you told me at the time, I'm like, this is looking really bad. And I agreed with everybody on the FBI thing. And now you don't hear anything. You don't hear anything.
Right.
It's weird. It's odd.
It is odd. So. Back to Iowa.
The XFL.
No, not the XFL. What should be the expectation level? Brant McCaffrey's made 3 NCAA tournaments in 7 years. It'll be 3-8 after this season. What's a realistic expectation for the program? Ooh. What going forward, say over the next 5 years, 4 out of 5, 3 out of 5, 2 out of 5? I mean, what should be a realistic expectation for this program to be able to do in the 68-team era of the NCAA tournament? What should be a baseline for expectations in your mind for this program?
I'll go 3 out of 5 NCAA tournaments. Mm-hmm. I think that's reasonable. I don't think that's stupid. And I know people say, well, Iowa's population, Iowa's history. Iowa's got a pretty good history of basketball, actually. So
overinflated, but yes, overinflated, I think, in many Hawkeye fans' minds. But yes.
That could be fair. That could be fair, but I mean, I don't think 3 out of 5 I went too far there, do you?
No. Before Steve Alford got to Iowa, Iowa had made 19 of the previous 23. Missed 4 over a 23-year stretch. Pretty good.
Did you say what? Say that again?
They made 19 out of 23 NCAA tournaments.
Okay, dude, I'm being way too wussy-ish, and Tiff is right. This is pathetic. 3 out of 5.
But, we're going back to a different era as well. A different era of basketball. Back then,
please explain. I have no idea where you're going with this. I'm actually looking forward to hearing what you're saying. What do you mean? What's different?
Back then, you win 20 games, you're in. You're a power conference team, you win 20 games, and it can be against Southern and Coppin State and Mississippi Valley State.
Oh, interesting.
You win 20 games, you're in. That started to change in the Dr. Tom era.
Yeah, and it killed us. What year was that? It's just we've got screwed at least twice, right?
Well,
we probably should have gone in.
This was the change that was happening, and this is one of the reasons that Dr. Tom they let his contract run out because he was not willing to change the way they scheduled in the non-conference. The RPI took a hit, and here are the reasons. You go back 1994, they go 11-16. The next year, they go 19-11, 9-9 in the Big Ten, normally good enough. They go to the NIT, and I remember being shocked that year that they didn't get to the tournament. I could not believe that they were not an NCAA tournament team.
Well, I tuned in Iona, so I...
Right. But I was surprised, because back then it seemed easy. Well, we learned at the time that it wasn't just, hitting a certain benchmark of wins. They were looking deeper at schedule. RPI was being a bigger component. They get back to the tournament the next couple of years.
You're poo-pooing that a little bit, Trent. You're poo-pooing that little 20 wins and you're in stuff. Come on.
What
it wasn't
mean?
That simple back in the day.
It was. I mean, I remember reading newspaper articles about it. Well, they hit 20 wins. They're a lock now for the tournament.
That is pathetic.
That's what it was. So it was a different time period. That changed. So... is it relevant to look at 19 out of 23 years from George Raveling, Lute Olson, the end of his tenure, where they went to 5 consecutive NCAA tournaments, though quite a few early flameouts. People also forget that, I think, a little bit with Lute, but that's a different conversation. George Raveling, do you know how many NCAA tournament games he won during his tenure?
Oh, yeah, I was alive during that, so that would be zero, right?
Zero, yeah, lost in the first
round.
Yeah,
I remember that, but he brought in the studs of studs, man, and
he
it
did.
Was unbelievable to watch, and, man, it's mostly about recruiting. It really is. If you can't figure out the coaching aspect, and I have some problems with serious problems with brand coaching. I do, and it's not just stuff that I make up in my mind, Trent. It's not me making up that they don't rebound. No, it's him saying, yeah, we didn't practice rebounding this year. It's not me making up that, wow, that defense sucks, and he's not talking about defense enough. It's no, there's an article written on somebody that hasn't put his name to it, but it says, yeah, we didn't practice that. Essentially, we didn't practice that much defense in practice. It's, you know, I just laugh every single time I hear how great our out-of-bounds plays are, Trent. I don't give a bleep about out-of-bounds plays, okay? You could have 100 out-of-bounds plays. I don't care. Stop your out-of-bounds play. Have four of them and practice defense and rebounding. I'm watching some of these other teams, and it's just a different game, Trent. It pisses me off. I'm getting mad. I'm having my girl get mad at me thinking I'm a sucker. you know what I mean? It pisses me off because I'm not a cheerleader. I'm not at all. But I'm also not a guy that's just going to kill somebody over 1 year. He's asking me to go over the history, Trent,
mm-hmm.
and I'm having trouble. It's 8 years in. What have we succeeded? How many tournament games have we won? One.
Two.
Two. We won two. No, I'm talking NCAA tournament.
Yeah, two.
We won two? Okay, we won two. How many Big Ten tournament games have we won? As you pointed out, we suck in the Big Ten tournament.
Right.
We just completely stink, and I'm sick of it, man. So maybe I'm a little angry today because I've been called a cheerleader, which I'm not. I don't like that at all. I will never be one. But I'm also not going to be Mr. Negative because I hate those people as well. So, I don't know. I'm angry. I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's all right. You're on the fence a little bit, and I understand it. This is what you come back with. Come back. Fran McCaffrey, 12-6, 12-6, 10-8, 3 years prior in the Big Ten. It's pretty good.
That's pretty freaking good.
Pretty
that
good.
That is pretty freaking good. But again, she will point out, as we were doing the Saturday show there, how we just caved in at the end of season, Trent. It was a joke, and somebody's got to be able to stop that. Just like we have to be able to stop, you know, 18-2 runs, or 15-0 runs, or 15-3 runs. I'm sick of that, Trent. Somebody has to step up, call a timeout, figure out a play. Instead of one of your 100 out-of-bounds plays, can we actually have a play that we can design up and score some points, or actually make a stop? That's what I care about. Stop the out-of-bounds play. I don't care if you have 110 out-of-bounds plays. You want to be known as the 110 out-of-bounds play coach? I'm pissed.
Well, we didn't even talk about the win over Wisconsin. We know how much you hate the Badgers. That at least had to put a smile on your face.
Oh, did it. And a guy we talked about on Monday, Luka Garza.
Yeah.
Who I'm not sure. I haven't heard your 110% opinion on him, and I gave it, and I love his passion, his energy. I can see it. He runs so hard down the court. He's got concrete blocks in his Nikes. It's almost embarrassing as we watch it, but he tries so hard. And did you see him? We talked about a leader, and who's going to be our leader, Trent? And we talked about a leader. Did you see when he made that play and started running back, and he looks over at the Wisconsin bench and talks some junk? That's my man right there. Is that not your type of guy? Is that not what we need? Is he the leader next year?
Yes, absolutely. He is the guy that has the chip on the shoulder. He's the guy that can bring
a little more
of that passion.
Thinking about him just makes me sweat happiness. I'm happy watching him. We needed this.
Uh-huh.
Like Penzel was that guy last year. He lost his meanness. He got skinny and good-looking, and all the women love him now. Now he's all happy. What's going on here?
It's easier when you're good looking.
Mad and angry when he was fat.
I love that. I love that.
I'm animated. We better stop so we have some for Monday.
Absolutely. Woo! Well, we will have a game to talk about as Iowa plays Nebraska tomorrow night, 7:00 on BTN. Wolfgang, I know you'll be locked and loaded for that one. Nebraska's playing well. I was impressed by a Monday against Ohio State. Physical game. We know before last night how well the Buckeyes were playing. You couple that with, they come back. They're a lot more talented than I anticipated. And Tim Miles, that's another guy that gets a hard time. Nebraska's not an easy place to win either. He took him to the NCAA tournament. It's still the only major conference team that has never ever won an NCAA tournament game.
Whoa!
And people are trying to run him out of town. It's, again, know the hierarchy. Understand the hierarchy. Yeah, you all want to be better. Miles is a pretty good coach, and he's got a pretty good team over there. Do we at least see the passion, the intensity that we saw out of the Hawkeyes against Wisconsin? Do they at least bring that to the table tomorrow night?
How could I say yes, Trent?
We don't know. Yeah.
I just couldn't. There's yep. no way I could say yes. It was fun watching that Wisconsin game. It was fun seeing them have fun. Do I want to see that? Yeah, but you also got to see the guys that want to battle. I watched other teams, and you could just sit there and watch and look at a guy, Trent, and see this guy is taking this personally. Mm-hmm. He does not want this guy to beat him. Well, that's not always 100% great either. If you're just worried about your guy, you have to be a team guy. So if you're just taking it as, this man can't beat me. No, you have to play health defense, and you got to do all that stuff as well. But I would love for our problem on defense to be our guys are taking their man too seriously. You know what I mean? That'd be a great problem to start out with. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get you. We will see tomorrow night. Wolfgang, enjoy your weekend, all right?
I will, brother. Thanks for having me, and we will talk Monday, sir.
Yeah, and tell Tiff to relax. Leave us alone.
She got me fired up.
She can be her Oklahoma fan over there, and you can have all the sanctions that come down, and obviously the NCAA coming home. Be part of that shady program. We'll enjoy Iowa and staying off probation. All right, Tiff?
I'm going to text her right now and have her listen. I can't wait, man. Expect a text from her, my man.
All right, I'm looking forward to it. Be good, Wolfgang.
All right, see you, brother.
Wolfgang Hawkeye checking in. That's where you can find him on Twitter, part of HawkeyeNation.com. We'll take a break. Coming back on the other side, Wolfgang steps out. Jimmy B back in. We'll talk with Scott Phillips, a little college basketball talk on the other side. It's Jimmy B and TC on 1700 KBGG.
And welcome back, everybody. We continue all the way till 6 o'clock tonight. Jimmy B and TC right here on the Big Talker 1700. Always fun when we get a chance to talk college basketball with Scott Phillips, NBC Sports. He joins us right now. Scotty, how are you, man? You ready for the big weekend?
Yeah, I'm doing well, and it should be a fun weekend of hoops. We've got some intriguing crossover matchups and non-conference play, and certainly the mix of conference play in there as well.
You know, normally I'm not a huge fan of the SEC Big 12 Challenge kind of falling on this weekend. They put it here, you know, in between the championship games and the Super Bowl weekend. Disrupts conference play, but I don't know, more than ever, I think I'm looking forward to it. Something a little different, Kentucky-West Virginia, I think that should be good. We might have a good one with Iowa State hosting a much improved Tennessee team, better than expected. What are your thoughts on this? Would you rather see it here or them to push it back into December?
I really like it at this point in the season. I think we've talked about this a bit before, but you know, you get some of those early season matchups with non-conference play, and teams don't really know their rotations or their personnel quite yet. You get some younger guys who have some jitters and don't really know the sets, and when you get it at this point in the season, everyone knows each other's rotations. They have a sense of who they are and what they're trying to accomplish on the floor, and I think you just see better basketball overall, especially with the true home and away feel of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. And, you know, you look at both these conferences this year, the Big 12 has been notably good the last few years. Now the SEC has up to 8 or 9 teams potentially going for bids this year, so they're markedly better, and they get kind of a measuring stick nationally to see where they stand against what many people believe is the best conference in the Big 12.
Doesn't that just shock you that we are actually saying the SEC is good in basketball with the exception of Kentucky and Florida?
Oh, it's absolutely stunning. I mean, obviously, the improvements in coaching staff and personnel and recruiting classes the last few years has been noted, but it's finally paying off for many of these schools this season. There's a lot of programs that have really made the jump and some teams that have really surprised, including Auburn, who's been missing two of their best players due to some, you know, FBI investigation lingering, things like that, but they've still been in the mix for an NCAA tournament bid. And you guys mentioned Tennessee in there as well, who's going to Iowa State, and that's another fascinating team that's really emerged into a top 25 program out of nowhere.
So we know Kentucky, West Virginia is a big one here locally, Iowa State, Tennessee. Give me your thoughts, though, on this one. Oklahoma making their way to Alabama. Colin Sexton, an outstanding freshman, and a lot of people thought maybe the point guard that we were going to be talking about. That matchup for Trey against Trey Young and Oklahoma, how good that chance does that have to be? And for people, and I'm sure there are a lot around here that watch a lot of Big 12, but maybe haven't seen Colin Sexton, a little preview of that matchup.
Yeah, that should be a really fun one, guys. Colin Sexton and Trae Young were two of the better point guards coming out of that high school class. Both of them McDonald's All-Americans, and both of them stayed at home to play in obscure places that aren't necessarily known as basketball hotbeds. Obviously, Oklahoma has had some success in recent years, but how many kids really come from Norman North High School and become a national leader in points and assists like yeah. Trae Young has? He's been unbelievable. He's been the leading player of the year candidate so far, and for him to lead his, you know, kind of hometown school in his freshman year has been one of the big stories in college basketball this season. And going against College Sexton should be a ton of fun because Sexton's one of those guys who plays with a hyper intensity. He loves the spotlight in big games, and he's played with and against Trae Young before in different types of settings like all-star camps and USA basketball events. And so Sexton's a potent scorer himself. He's going to be in the mix for an NBA lottery pick this season after what should be his one and only year at Alabama. And, you know, these are two top-flight point guards who could be guys to really watch as we get closer to March here.
Okay, let's just stay then with the Big 12 for a moment. Unless something miraculous happens, do you have Iowa State and Oklahoma State as the only two teams that do not make the dance?
I think Baylor could also have some troubles. Obviously, okay. They're in the mix right now after some good wins, but I think they need to do a little bit more to play their way in at this point. This is a team that started out really well, but they've kind of plummeted a bit in Big 12 play. They've lost four of their last five, and you know, again, this is a really tough league that's seen a lot of losses in different places, and it doesn't get any easier for Baylor from here. They have to go on the road to play at Florida for their challenge game this weekend. They have to go at Oklahoma after that. They still have plenty of games against Texas Tech, Kansas, and West Virginia, and this is a team that needs to put together some wins in order to get in.
All right, one more on the Big 12 front, Iowa State. Want to go to your other expertise outside of college basketball, and that's the high school ranks in the Chicagoland. Three of the four guys that have signed on to play next year for the Cyclones come from your neck of the woods. So what can you tell us about this group? Talon Horton Tucker continues to rise up the rankings, a big-time player there, Zion Griffin and George Condit. What can you tell us about those three?
Yeah, it's an exciting group for Iowa State. They did the best job of recruiting the state of Illinois out of any program in the country this year. Really made a lot of inroads in the Chicagoland area, especially. And Talon Horton Tucker is definitely going to be the jewel of that class. He's having a monster senior season at Simeon. He's kind of a unique player in that he's, you know, 6'4 or 6'5, but he's got a near 7-foot wingspan. He's got elite leaping ability. And he's just a winner who makes plays on both ends of the floor. You know, he just turned 17 in November of his senior year, so he's really young for his class. He's still maturing physically, but this is a guy who could come in and play right away and contribute at Iowa State next year. And with guys like George Condit and Zion Griffin, you're getting elite athleticism at their position. Condit's going to be a little more raw. He plays for a school that hasn't played a lot of top-flight competition, but he's got the intangibles and the shop-walking upside that you covet, especially in a class that doesn't have a lot of big guys. And with Zion Griffin, he's a late bloomer himself, a lot like Horton Tucker, and he's the type of guy that you take a risk on and try to develop over a couple years. He's a great athlete on the wing. He's started to develop more perimeter skill as his high school career has gone on, and this is a really promising trio and a promising four-man class in general that Iowa State can build on for next season.
Having a great basketball conversation right now with Scott Phillips, NBC Sports. I'm real curious, Scott. I'm not a big recruit guy. I'm the kind of guy that says, all right, let's see what they look like in a college uniform and in a game. Is there out of the classes and some of the guys that you have seen and the guys that you just listed from Trent's question, is there a true impact guy that you have seen? I mean, a guy that, you know, like a Bagley. Like a Trae Young. I mean, maybe not that level, but is there somebody that you know is going to be an instant starter on a college team?
Yeah, next year I think you have to start with Duke's class. They have the number 1, 2, and 3 prospects at the moment, as well as the number 1 point guard in Trae Jones, who's Tyus Jones' little brother. So they're going to be, you know, heavily relying on freshmen next season. It's an unbelievable group led by R.J. Barrett, Cameron Reddish, and Zion Williamson. And Williamson might be the most popular high school player that we've seen since LeBron. So, you know, they have a great class. LSU has put together a strong class. They landed another commitment from a 5-star forward in Emmett Williams today. And Will Wade has really done a tremendous job of taking that program in just his first year and getting them a lot of 4- and 5-star talents to work with in the next couple years. And that's a program on the rise in the SEC. And I think Oregon did a really nice job as well. Dana Altman put together a strong class led by a couple McDonald's All-Americans, including Manute Bol's son, Bol Bol, who's a 7-foot-2 shot blocker who can also stretch the floor as a 3-point shooter. And this is a team and a group that has a lot of upside going forward.
Talking right now, Scott Phillips, NBCSports.com. Well, over the weekend, we're talking about the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Maybe the game I'm looking most forward to, though, CBS will have it. It's Duke and Virginia. In fact, if you miss the game, not around a TV, we'll have it here with Westwood One coverage on 1700. But Virginia, I haven't been a believer. I look through of what they've done. It just seems like every other Virginia team to me. Maybe a little bit better. I guess I could give you that, but I think we're going to find out a lot. What do you expect to see with the Hoos taking on the Dukies tomorrow?
I'm fascinated to see who dictates the tempo in that one, because with Virginia, they obviously want to slow down the pace. They want to make sure that they're grinding out wins. And with Duke, they want to get up-tempo. They're a team that can easily score 190 points, as we've seen many times this season, where they're easily getting into track meets into the high 80s and low 90s. And I think if, you know, Virginia is able to dictate the tempo, if they're able to continually double the post as they're so effective with doing, I think it can make life difficult on guys like Marvin Bagley and Wendell Carter, and they have a chance to win. But I have question marks with this team, as you mentioned. You know, I don't think that they can necessarily hang with the Duke if they're hitting shots and getting up tempo. I think Duke still has the superior offense and talent in this game, and Virginia's kind of benefited from an easier schedule with a lot of home games against good teams. I think Duke's definitely the favorite in this one, but if Virginia plays to a slower tempo, they'll definitely be in it.
You know what? I think it this way, Scott. Even if you're correct with what they do down low on the block against Bagley and those guys, I think Grayson Allen is due to go off. He's kind of just been laying in the weeds, scoring 16, 17 points a game. But if you're going to have guys drop down away, you know how good a shooter he is from the outside. He could have a monster game.
Yeah, definitely. Grayson Allen certainly capable of going off. And Gary Trent has really carried them in stretches of the second half and other games as well, when teams have tried to make adjustments on the interior to double-team Bagley and Carter. And I think that's what you'll have to see Duke rely on to win this game. Virginia, with that pack line defense, loves to make sure that they double almost immediately on the catch. They have two guys in the face of a post offensive player, and this is the type of defense that really harasses the ball movement and making sure that you're throwing passes out to the perimeter. So Duke has to hit those shots, and Trayvon Duval, their point guard with an inconsistent jumper, could be counted on to make plays as well.
Scott Phillips, NBCSports.com. Always great talking with you, Scott. Appreciate your time. Enjoy your sports weekend. I know a busy one here for you on a Friday. A lot of high school basketball, and we can see your work at NBCSports.com. Tell us a little bit as well on what you do on Friday nights at NBC Sports Chicago.
Yeah, I also cover the boys basketball scene in Chicago for NBC Sports Chicago. So High School Lights is the show that I help work on 11 o'clock Friday nights on NBC Sports Chicago. And a lot of fun, a lot of highlights, and we've had a lot of features on some Iowa State recruits in the last couple weeks. Check out our website, NBCSportsChicago.com, the preps tab.
Awesome stuff. Thanks as always for your time, Scott.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Scott Phillips, you can find his work online on Twitter, at Phillips Hoops. And some good stuff there. Love to get that inside look at that recruiting class. You know, you see the highlights when Iowa State, you know, when Talon Horton Tucker has another ridiculous dunk. You know, we see these things happen.
Right.
But you get that insider look in just how good these guys are. And you wonder who's going to be, you know, the most impactful. Horton Tucker is obviously the highest ranked of the four guys coming in, but you know, who's going to be able to find a niche next year with this squad that's going to be pretty good next year?
I think sites like that, Trent, are extremely useful, especially for the junkie who, you know, just can't get enough of the recruiting stuff. And more power to them. And guys who do that work and they slough around in a high school gym and go talk to high school kids, you know, more power to them. So I appreciate the work that they do, absolutely.
Seems like you're patting me on the back, too, with your talk there, right?
That's because I know the effort that you put in when you do high school basketball. I know what that's all about with you, pal.
Well,
I know that you're not sitting in a cushy press box and getting the steak seminar from, you know, I mean you're lucky to get like broccoli. And that's it. So I know the effort that you go through in setting up the equipment and all those things that go into doing a high school game. Trust me, it is not the Ritz. I get it.
No, not at all, but I love doing it. There is no doubt. And next week, we'll have a doubleheader starting on Tuesday. It'll be Waukee hosting Dowling Catholic. Looking forward to that one. And next Friday night, Jimmy B., I'm making my way to the small school ranks. Going to head down to Norwalk and see that outstanding team. Young Vasky, their point guard, along with Bourne, their two guard, those two are fun to watch. Going up against Oskaloosa and Xavier Foster. Just a sophomore ranked as one of the top 20 players, though, in the country in his class. Iowa State, Creighton. You know, the standards around here involved, but this is a kid that could be the next top-level recruit from a state. This is the next Harrison Barnes, the next Marcus Page.
I got you.
A guy like that. And excited to get to see him next Friday night.
That'll be good, man. That'll be super. So, look, I know you put a lot of effort into that, and I applaud you for that. That's not necessarily my cup of tea, but I know you've been doing it for a long time, and you're damn good at it, too. So, you go, boy.
I don't have to big-time everyone like Brinson has to do, you know.
I'm always looking for that steak and sushi. You know me.
I do very, very well. Well, we'll come back on the other side. We're going to put a cap on things here. Our picks for the weekend, Iowa, Nebraska, Iowa State against Tennessee. Drake in action as well. They're on the road at Evansville. And you and I, they host Loyola. We'll make our picks. We'll have a little fun. We got football, not real football this weekend. It's the Pro Bowl. We got the Senior Bowl. We'll see what else comes up on the other side as we take you up until 6 o'clock. It's Jimmy B and TC. We are back. The work week is just about over. Just a few minutes left. Slow down, Jimmy B. Slow down. Brinson. Yeah,
okay. All right.
I know you're
right.
Excited, but we do have a little more work to do. I'm going to put you on the spot. So for the first time in months, we don't have our football picks as... Well, we're not going to pick the Pro Bowl, though I could try to make you do that. You do have a one-game lead, so I could try to slide back in that way. No, we're not going to do that. Not going to pick the Senior Bowl. But do want to get your thoughts on the games this weekend. Let's start Iowa State hosting Tennessee. Rick Barnes has taken this team a lot further than anticipated this year. I thought Rick Barnes was really going to go in there. He's got his five-year contract, not be very good. Go off into the sunset, but he's got this Tennessee program revved up at a pretty good level and a good squad coming into Hilton tomorrow afternoon.
They are a good team, and this once again will be a terrific test for Iowa State on their home court. And that's the best news that the Cyclones can have, Trent, that it is a home game. And so I look for Iowa State to hang around in this game, and I look for them to win a close game in that contest tomorrow in the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Iowa State wins it, you're saying?
Yes.
Wow. They are a dog in this game. 4 points is the point spread, but Jimmy B is going with the Cyclones.
Yes.
This is an important game. If we're going to have the conversation that we've talked about, even getting to 7-11 in conference play, you got to couple it with a win here. Again, another quality victory. This is a winnable home game. I'll go with you. They get it done. Cyclones in the upset.
Wow.
Yeah, let's both jump on the bandwagon. We'll do it. All right. Let's go then to Saturday night. Iowa over in Nebraska. Does the same Hawkeye team that we see on Wednesday against Wisconsin show up with intensity, with effort, with tenacity, or... do we see, well, the team we've seen most of the season? I just want to see them show up. I don't care, because this is a lost season, win or lose, I just want to see effort. That's what I'm looking for more than just the final score.
I would like to see effort. Their coach gets a brand new deal that he signed a couple of months ago, and people are still scratching their head about that. I don't know if that's going to be an impetus for these guys to play better on the road. But I like Nebraska in this game. And look, I know Nebraska has issues in the post, and that is Iowa's strength. But Nebraska's got some players, and Roby has really come on lately. And they won on the road at Rutgers, won at Illinois. I just I, I, I think this game means so much to Nebraska in an effort to try to make a statement for being a bubble NCAA team. I was a bubble for nothing. They're not going anyplace. So this means much more to Nebraska than it does to Iowa. I'm taking the Huskers.
I'm with you. In fact, I was going to lay the points. Ken, though, earlier this afternoon, he talked me into at least maybe grabbing the points with the Hawkeyes. So I'll do that. I'll grab the points. I'll grab the six here. But Nebraska, I'm with you there, gets it done. Drake's on the road. You and I gets Loyola. Do we see either from the MVC pull an upset this weekend?
No. Not going to happen. Ooh. No, Drake had their moment in the sun, and now the clouds have come over to block out the sun. And I think teams have seen enough of them, and they have finally figured them out. Look, in the game they had at the Knapp Center just a couple of nights ago, they're in that game. It's a one-point game at the nine-minute mark, and then they collapsed. Mm-hmm. And so I have a feeling now, will they win a couple more games? Yeah, I think they will. But I have the good feeling that we had about Drake is gone. You and I, for some reason, Trent, they're like Iowa. They can't seem to get out of their own way.
Yeah.
And they're struggling terribly to score points. They still play good defense, but you got to have at least a few players score. That's the idea of basketball. Make a basket.
If they go on a 25-0 run like they did against Illinois State, they'll be in good shape like they did on Wednesday. Different animal, though, going on the road at Loyola, conference leader. Yeah, I can't buy it.
Yeah, I don't see it. No, I can't either.
Out of time, Jimmy B. Enjoy your weekend, my man. We'll talk again Monday.
Thank you, brother, and see you then. And thank you, everybody, for listening. We are done. Jimmy B. and TC, it's the Big Talker 1700.